Lecture 6, Jefferson Abroad.
In our last lecture, we looked at Jefferson as the author of the Notes on the State of Virginia. We saw Jefferson developing his agrarian radical vision for America and grappling with the problem of slavery, a problem that would dog him throughout his life. Now we turn to Jefferson Abroad, Jefferson's experience as a diplomat. And these were critical years in Jefferson's experience, for it's in these years that he finally overcomes the grief he feels at the loss of his wife, opens up emotionally, and falls in love not once but twice. His political thought matures as his agrarian radicalism becomes more and more pointed, and ultimately he's transformed by the French Revolution, an event which will change his political career and with which he will identify for the rest of his life. Now, Jefferson's diplomatic activities began in May 7th, 1784, when he was appointed Minister Plenipotentiary with Adams and Franklin. He leaves from Boston with his daughter, Martha, or Patsy as he called her, on July 5th of that year, and in the following March finally succeeds, if not replaces, Benjamin Franklin as the ambassador to France. And he and Adams work together on a variety of projects. They work to contain the depredations of the Algerine pirates. Prior to the Revolution, the American commerce in the Mediterranean had been protected by the British, and during the Revolution by the French. After the Revolution, they are subject to raids by the Algerine pirates. He engages in efforts to promote trade and commerce in the whaling industry, in the fishing industry, in the spermaceti oil industry. And of course, he works on behalf of the League of Armed Neutrality, attempt to create a union of as many neutral states as a growing conflict emerges between Britain and France, who will try to enforce the right of the free shipping of neutrals. And perhaps most important of all, he and Adams work together to secure necessary financial support for the fledgling nation, particularly in Holland, loans which will keep America from going bankrupt prior to the Constitutional Convention. But Jefferson was not all work. Jefferson imbibed the rich culture of Europe, its high culture. He attended the theater. He went to galleries. And more than anything, he seeped in its architecture. As he writes from Nîmes, "Here I am, madam, gazing whole hours at the Maison Carrée like a lover at his mistress." Jefferson immersed himself in the salon culture of both Paris and London, attending galleries. He also toured much of Western Europe. With John Adams, he visits London and tours the English gardens in March of 1786. In the following spring, he tours southern France and northern Italy, where he visits the ruins I mentioned at Nîmes. And in the next year, in the following spring of 1788, he tours Holland and the Rhineland. Well, I want now to turn to Jefferson's emotional experience, Jefferson in love, because it's in Paris that Jefferson emerges from his deep mourning from the death of his wife and enters in, as I've mentioned, not one but two love affairs. The first one we're going to look at is that with Maria Causeway, an affair that begins in 1786. Now, Maria Causeway is a married woman. She's married to the noted English miniaturist Richard Causeway. Richard Causeway is a stark contrast to Jefferson. He's very small, extremely slight. He's a bit of a fop. Many Jeffersonians have suggested that he may have been homosexual, but it seems far more likely that he was actually bisexual. Certainly, he's known, though Jefferson was not aware of this, to have been somewhat famous for painting extremely expensive pornographic snuff boxes. The point being that the Causeway marriage was a marriage of convenience. It was not a love match. Maria married him because she needed property. She needed money to support her family, her mother in particular. And Richard Causeway settled on her about £2,800 and promised to care for her mother for the rest of his life. So we have a loveless marriage here, one which Jefferson will enter as a gallant hero, trying to rescue this woman from her unhappiness. And she is a remarkable woman in her own right. She's about 27 years old, quite feminine, beautiful. She's a significant artist in her own right, and a London salonniere, which is to say she runs a salon or meeting place where men of letters will meet and talk about issues of culture and politics.